Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events, we hope we can hit on some of them. And even though this is the day after the 4th of July, Independence Day, we are live, and if you got a question that's you got to have an answer to, we invite you to give us a call. We don't always get to the calls on the weekday. We usually do more calls on Sunday night on our Sunday night program, Late Night Live with Pastor Al, every Sunday night from 10 o'clock until midnight on this station. But we do have the phone lines open today, 888-677-9673. And check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And hope you'll be able to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church where I am the pastor. If you go to livewithpastoral.com, you'll be able to learn more about me and the program. And you can also link over to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And we'll have more information on that at the end of the program. But we are located in Richfield, Ohio, near where 77 and 271 cross at basically the intersection of Broadview Road and Wheatley Road. And that, Broadview Road becomes Wheatley Road, Brecksville Road and Wheatley Road at 4174 Wheatley Road. But we're in a commercial strip, and that's Suite 200. And I always stress that because I don't know how many people have tried to find us and said, well, I couldn't find us or find you right away when they finally get there. And I don't know how many people have looked and not found us. And invariably, somebody said, well, I was looking for a building. And that's why I always say when I tell people when you're looking for us, if you're looking for a building with a steeple, you're not going to find us. You have to look for our door. We're at Suite 200 in a commercial strip at 4174 Wheatley Road in Richfield, Ohio. And we will be there tonight. We have our Friday night Bible study. And that's at 7 o'clock tonight, and we'd love to have you come out and visit us. And then, of course, that is an informal Bible study where you can bring questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word as well. And then on Sunday, we certainly invite you to come out and visit us on Sunday. If you don't have a church or if you're looking for a church that preaches the Word of God, sticks with the King James Bible, and Pastor Lutz was on before us. If his church up in Lakewood is too far away, or Pastor Rusnacko that's going to be after us, if his church, the Bible Baptist Temple in Euclid, is too far away, you're more down in the southern area of Cuyahoga County or northern Summit County, why don't you check us out, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And as I said, we have our Sunday morning services. Sunday morning at 11 o'clock, I'm preaching currently through the Gospel of John, and I'm in the chapter 11, I believe it is, dealing with the resurrection of, or not the resurrection, the raising back to life of Lazarus. And I say not the resurrection because there is a big difference between the resurrection and what Jesus experienced when he was resurrected from the grave, from the dead, and what Lazarus experienced when he was raised from the dead. And we'll be talking about that some more this coming Sunday. That's in the 11 o'clock service. And then Sunday night during our 6 o'clock service, I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs. And Proverbs is a good example of why I like to preach through books of the Bible. Because if left to myself, I was preaching a little here and a little there in Proverbs, there's a lot of Proverbs that I probably would never get to. But going verse by verse through Proverbs has forced me really to study the book and to see things in Proverbs and connections in Proverbs that they probably would not have seen or noticed as readily otherwise. And like I said, there's some passages in Proverbs that are a little difficult and almost awkward to handle, but I would probably say, well, you know, I'll get to that another time. Another time would probably not come. But by preaching through books of the Bible, I'm forced to have to preach the whole counsel of God, which is what God wants us to do in the first place, rather than just the things that I'd like to preach and avoid the things I don't want to preach. And so we're currently going through Proverbs on Sunday night. We're in Proverbs 28 there. So we'd love to have you come out and visit us at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. In the meanwhile, as I said, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Well, yesterday was the 4th of July, Independence Day. And I just wanted to share a couple of thoughts on this. I'm our article in progress dealing with this, and I had hoped to have it done before Independence Day, but just things going on, and I haven't got it done yet. But some thoughts that I had here, and Independence Day is really kind of unusual because, you know, we're probably one of the few countries in the world that had an origin with a Declaration of Independence. And there's other countries that have come into being, you know, by revolution, obviously, or a military coup, or perhaps just a just some great event that took place or whatever. But the United States is kind of unique in many ways, and not the least of which is the form of government that we have and the basis, and this is for another program perhaps, but a basis, our Constitution, based on many biblical truths. And it's kind of ironic, getting ahead of myself here a little bit, the Declaration of Independence, where we look at as our birthday, July 4th, 1776, mentions God four times, and people point out, well, the Constitution doesn't mention him at all, but the Constitution derives its authority from God, most certainly, because Romans chapter 13 talks about human governments and how they're supposed to be ministers of God and how they're supposed to do things that are right to protect the innocent and the weak and things like that. In fact, in Romans chapter 13, verse number 3, says, "For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he," meaning the government official, "is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doth evil." So the governments are supposed to do right. They're supposed to protect people's rights. They're supposed to protect the innocent. And God uses them, and God desires to use them. He created human governments for these purposes. And so that it runs through the Constitution. Of course, the Bible was quoted more than any other book, especially the book of Deuteronomy in the Bible, when putting the Constitution together. But when we look at the Declaration of Independence, now this is really interesting when you look at it, because you know, the Declaration of Independence, we sometimes, I think what we do is we think that we had a bunch of guys standing around on July the 4th, and all of them signing this document all at once, you know, lined up there. John Hancock, of course, putting his name. We have the expression today, "Put your John Hancock on this." And so we have that idea, but really not everybody signed it that same day. And there was a lot leading up to it. You already had some things going on, and it wasn't 100% that everybody wanted independence from Great Britain immediately, but the calls for it really began to grow in 1776, early in the year, and you had at the Continental Congress earlier in, let's see, it was May, I believe it was, in 1775, you had Richard Henry Lee of Virginia, who put forward a resolution that began saying, resolved that these United Colonies are, and of right ought to be, free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved. And like I said, this was in May, and they appointed a committee of five in order to draft a what became our Declaration of Independence. And so this committee was put together. You had two people from New England, John Adams of Massachusetts and Roger Sherman of Connecticut. And then you had two people from the Middle Colonies, Benjamin Franklin of Pennsylvania and Robert Livingston of New York. And then you had one Southerner, Thomas Jefferson of Virginia. And so Jefferson, of course, he is the one who basically wrote the main draft of the Constitution, and then the others kind of gave some input and all, and they put it together, they submitted it to the Continental Congress, and they, I believe, made a few changes, and so we had on July 1st, 1776, the Congress reconvened, and the following day, which would be July 2nd, the Lee Resolution for Independence was adopted by 12 of the 13 colonies. New York did not vote. Now, this is interesting because John Adams later, you know, he's famously quoted about saying that the independence of the United States, our birthday, ought to be celebrated with illuminations. And basically, he's talking about fireworks and things like we have today and parades and things like that. But he was expecting that day would be July 2nd. So instead of celebrating the 4th of July, he thought we'd be celebrating the 2nd of July, and everybody would have been saying, happy 2nd, instead of happy 4th. And but it was the 4th of July that finally the declaration was signed, and so it was adopted, of course, and then the declaration was adopted, and it was signed, and then they printed up, and they began sending them around to the various things. Well, so where is God in the Declaration of Independence? Now, I'm not going to read, and I don't have time to read through every line of the Declaration of Independence, but it's really not that long. I encourage people to read it, because when you compare it with what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 13 about the responsibility of government officials, which applies to kings, including King George, you'll find that, you know, they were justified, according to Romans chapter 13, in desiring government officials over them that would do the right thing rather than the wrong thing. And as we said, that the government officials, are ministers of God, as he said, to thee for good. And King George was doing evil to the colonies. But let me just begin here, and we're going to look at four references to God in the Declaration of Independence. It begins when, in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one band to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, to assume among the powers of the earth a separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. And this line in here, the laws of nature and of nature's God. Now, if you look at a copy of the Declaration of Independence, you'll see that nature's God is all capitalized there, capital N, capital G, and this was a reference to the God of the Bible. And when it says the laws of nature and of nature's God, this is a recognition that God, who created the earth, and that'll come up in the next part of the declaration, but this is a recognition that God rules over the earth, rules over nature, that the physical world is in his hands. Jesus demonstrated that when in the incarnation of Christ, he stilled the storms, you know, the stormy sea. Remember the Sea of Galilee. And when he healed the sick and just the different miracles that he wrought, he showed that he had power over nature and that nature was subject to him. The physical realm was subject to him. Let me just share something with you in Hebrews chapter 1. I always find this fascinating when I read this. In Hebrews chapter 1, it begins in verse 1 saying, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of majesty on high. Now, let me continue here. I'll finish the sentence out. Being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now, that's the first four verses of Hebrews chapter 1. It's all one sentence if you're using the King James Bible. King James Bible, one of the advantages of the King James Bible, it's one of the things that people complain about, but it's one of the tremendous advantages, is that it preserves the sentence structure, these long sentences. Some modern versions, they break up these sentences and they end up elevating supporting clauses and clauses that kind of provide supplemental information into main subjects, and they're not. They are supplemental things. And some of these supplemental things are rather interesting when we look at it, because here in the middle of verse number 3, when it's talking about Jesus, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and it's talking about God the manifest in the flesh, he says this, upholding all things by the word of his power. Now, this is an interesting thing. When we look at the nature of matter, it's all around us. Atoms, you know, molecules are made up of atoms. Atoms are made up of neutrons and protons and electrons. Well, neutrons have no charge. They're neutral. That's why they're called neutrons. But protons have a positive charge. Electrons have a negative charge. And we understand the idea of opposites attract. And when you take magnets, for instance, and if you take a magnet, like a bar magnet, and it's got a north and a south end on the magnet, and if you put the two north ends together, they push apart. If you put the north and the south end together, they attract. They stick together. And so the only way that you can keep the two north ends together of two magnets is to hold them in your hand, hold them together. You have to hold them, actively hold them together. When you let go, what happens? They fly apart. Well, it's interesting, you know, in Isaiah chapter 44, in verse number 24, it says, thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. And this tells us how God created all things by himself. He didn't create Jesus, as for instance the Jehovah's Witnesses teach, that Jesus is actually Michael the Archangel. God created him and then used him to create everything. No, that's not true. Because Isaiah 44 and verse 24, as I said, says that the Lord Jehovah created all things, and he says that he made, he stretched forth the heavens alone, meaning nobody else did it with him or for him. He did it by himself, and that he spreadeth abroad the earth by myself, meaning alone, by himself. I built a porch on the back of my house, but I didn't do it alone. I can say I built it, but I can't say I did it alone. I can't say I did it by myself. A friend of mine helped me build it. I wouldn't have been able to build it without him. So I can't say I did it alone or by myself. But God could, because that's what he did. And he did it through the second person of the Godhead, God the Son, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so God, through the Son, built the universe, put it together. And when he made the atoms, and you have the protons in the nucleus and the electrons flying around the nucleus in the electron cloud, it's understandable how the electrons are attracted to the positive charge, the negative electrons attracted to the positive charge of the neutrons. But you ever wonder what keeps the neutrons next to each other from flying apart? They're packed together in the nucleus of the atom, and they don't fly apart. They're all positively charged. They should repel each other. Well, science doesn't really know why, so they call it, I believe it's the strong nuclear force, and it only operates in the nuclear nucleus of the atom, and it holds the protons together. It keeps them together from flying apart. Well, I think that's nothing more than a description of Jesus holding all things by the word of his power. Jesus holds all things together, and one day he's going to let that go, and the Bible says the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Well, there's nature held together, made by nature's God, and this is a recognition of the God of the Bible that created all things. Well, let me go to the second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it's the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundations in such principles, organize its powers in such form so as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Well, it continues on, but here's the idea. Endowed by their Creator, as I said, it recognizes God as the Creator. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Man did not create God. God created man. And so we have a recognition that God is our creator. We have our origin in him. And that God gave us certain rights that the Declaration says are unalienable. Now you'll hear the word inalienable, I-N, as opposed to U-N today. It's basically the same thing. But these are rights that essentially are obvious that they exist. And they did not come from us. They did not come from the government. They came from God himself. Now, people who are trying to evoke the boogeyman of Christian nationalists try to claim that the idea that you believe that God gave us unalienable rights, not the government, that that's some kind of bizarre, extreme viewpoint. No, it's right here in the Declaration of Independence. So there's a recognition of God who holds everything together and then created us and gave us rights and gave us government, and that government should protect the rights that God has given us. Well, it goes through the actions and the complaints against King George and the different things as you go through the Constitution. And as we come down to the last paragraph, he says this: "We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme God of the world for the rectitude of our intentions, do in the name and by the authority of the good people of these colonies solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are and of right ought to be free and independent states, and that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connection between them and the state of Great Britain is and ought to be totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states they have the power to levy war, conclude peace, contract alliances, establish commerce, do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do." Well, there it is. They're appealing to the supreme judge of the world. They recognize that the world exists, was created by God. He keeps the world in operation, that he created us and gave us unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that they recognize as several of them, not exclusively just those, but those are the three that they note. And then he's the supreme judge of the world. He's watching what we do. And they understood that they could not do what they were doing lightly. They understood the purpose of government, and they realized that King George was violating God's purposes of government. And so they're appealing to the supreme judge of the world for what they've done. And then it finishes this way, saying, "And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we meant mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." Firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. They recognized without God, they could not accomplish this. And so you can see God in the beginning of the declaration, at the end of the declaration. They realized that God that created the world and runs the world has given them this right, and that he's our creator who's given us certain unalienable rights, and that we need to appeal to him and let our actions be judged by him. What we're doing, is it right or wrong? And then they realized God had to direct them in all things. I hope you're letting God direct you in your life. If you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, I hope you will. Thanks for listening. God bless. Join us next time.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.